man asked his wife what she wanted for Christmas. His wife said, "I want a brand new four-wheel drive Jeep." So the man goes down to the local dealership to price out new Jeeps. He could not believe the price. "There's no way," he said, "there's no way I can afford something that pricey." So he thought about an alternative, and he comes up with an idea. He said, "I know how much she loves jewelry, so I'm going to get her a large diamond ring instead." Christmas Day comes. Is that my wife that said woohoo? Amen. You're going to be saying woohoo here in a second, all right? All right. So Christmas Day comes. His wife opens the gift. She sees the size of the diamond. Her eyes get big. She starts screaming, "I love it. I love it. Thank you so much." And the man breathes a sigh of relief. She takes pictures and she posts them all over social media, this beautiful gift that her husband gave her to make all of her friends jealous. The next day at work, one of the man's coworkers comes up and he says, "So what'd you get your wife for Christmas?" "I got her a diamond ring," said the man. "What? I thought she wanted one of them new sporty four-wheel drive vehicles." "She did," the man replies, "but where in the world was I going to find a fake Jeep?" Amen. Good. Yeah, right. Hey, that's for all the men out there. I just helped some of you guys out. Nothing says love like a fake diamond ring at Christmas time. Hey, look, if you get your wife a fake diamond ring, that's just more money you can put in the offering for the Lord's work. Amen. It's a win-win for everybody. Maybe not her, but it's... Well, can you believe Christmas is almost here? It feels like just yesterday we're ringing in 2023, and now here we are. It's almost over. So I'm going to start off by reading just one simple, short verse today, Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. I believe that God has given me a great truth as we head into the Christmas season, a great truth to share with you here today. So here's what it says. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." I'm calling this message Beyond Christmas. Father, for the next few moments, I ask that you would give me the mind of Christ. I ask, God, that you would anoint these words, Lord. I believe, God, that you've given me a great truth to share with these people here that will be encouraging, that'll be life-changing. But God, if you do not anoint these words, this message will fall flat in front of me. God, it's only by your anointing can lives be changed and people be saved and set free. And so, God, I just ask for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. When you think of Christmas, what do you typically think of? What's the first thing that pops into your mind when you hear the word Christmas? If I had everyone come up here on the stage, I'm sure we would have multiple different answers. Some people would think of, when they think of Christmas, they think of the bright lights, the big shiny bulbs. Some think of the Salvation Army volunteer collecting money at the front of the supermarkets and so forth. Some think of Santa Claus sitting in the big fluffy chair terrorizing all of the children that come through. Some think of brownies and cookies and nuts and pecan pies and calories and cholesterol and things like that. Some think of the shining lights on the windows or the stockings hanging over the fireplace. Some think of all the toys they're going to have to put together on Christmas morning when their children are screaming, "Me first, Daddy. Is it my turn, Daddy, to put together my toy?" And you spend all day putting together toys. Some think of reindeer and sleighs, earmuffs, maybe even runny noses. Some think of their in-laws and how wonderful their in-laws are. Well, maybe not. I don't think anybody thinks that. Scratch that. Nobody does that one. But some think of the expensive toy you get the young child only for them to play with the box. Some husbands think of the large diamond ring, fake diamond ring they're now going to get their wife for Christmas and how much she will love it. For me, Christmas is a wonderful season. I love this time of year, but I've learned that this isn't the case for everyone. For some people, thoughts of Christmas are much different, much darker, if you will. For some of us, it's sitting home with the empty chairs by the Christmas tree. For some, it's thoughts of not being able to purchase gifts for your children to open up on Christmas or for other loved ones. For some, it's thinking about the spouse that has passed away or maybe has left them. For some, it's thinking of the child that is no longer with them. For some, this is a season of loneliness and depression. Christmas means many things to many different people. It's a day that brings up many different emotions in all of us, both good and bad, positive and negative. But it is important with all of the different thoughts about what we have, what we know Christmas to be. It's important to remember what Christmas truly is, what the real reason for Christmas is. You see, Christmas is actually a day of celebration. It's the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, even though that we celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th, Christmas Day, the exact date of the birth of Jesus is highly debated. I've talked about this before. And some people get bent out of shape about this. People will argue that there's no way his birth occurred on December 25th, and it came in some other season, such as in the fall. And followers of this theory will say that the Judean winters were too cold for the shepherds to be watching their flocks by night, as we read in the book of Luke chapter 2. History proves otherwise, however, and we have historical evidence that the unblemished lambs that were used in the temple sacrifice were in fact kept in the fields near Bethlehem during the winter months. But people argue about this all the time. The truth is, nobody really knows for sure. It was in AD 325 that professing Christians settled on the date for celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And so with that being said, it's impossible to prove whether or not Jesus was actually born on December 25th, and ultimately, it does not matter. The truth is, we simply don't know the exact day of our Savior's birth. In fact, we don't even know the exact year of which he was born. Many scholars believe it was somewhere between 6 BC and 4 BC. But one thing is clear, if God felt it was important for us to know the exact date of the king's birth, he would have certainly told us in his word. Because the Gospels give very specific details about the birth of Jesus, even down to what the baby was wearing, swaddling clothes, and where he slept in a manger. And these details are important because they speak of his nature and his character, which is meek and lowly. But the exact date of his birth has no significance whatsoever, which is why God might have chose not to mention it. Simply put, we've chosen the date December 25th to celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to this earth. So Jesus is the reason that we celebrate. Regardless of what we feel or how we think, he is the reason. And so with that in mind, that foundation laid, that brings me to the question that I want to spend the rest of this message at. And the question is simply this: since Jesus is the reason that we celebrate, how do we celebrate? You see, for some of us, we think that we celebrate by sitting by the fireplace and maybe drinking eggnog. We celebrate by maybe it's reading the Christmas story to our children on Christmas Eve. I know some of you do that. Or it's maybe attending the Christmas Eve service on the eve of Christmas. Or it's maybe spending time with loved ones and family. And these things are all great to do. They're wonderful. But the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ is much more than all of that. Let's look again at this verse in Matthew chapter 20. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many." Two words I want you to see here, the words serve and give. Jesus came to serve and he came to give. So if Christmas is about celebrating the birth of Jesus and the reason Jesus was born was to serve and to give, then Christmas is about serving and giving. And we celebrate the birth of our Savior by doing those very two things, serving and giving. And typically when we think about giving, the first thing that comes to our mind is money. But I want you to know that giving is so much more than money. What did Jesus give? He gave himself. I've heard people say, "I just don't have anything to give, Pastor. I can barely put food on the table for my kids," and it's true. But everyone has the ability to give something. For instance, what instead if you gave someone the gift of appreciation? What if instead you gave someone the gift of encouragement? Some of you are wondering what you're going to give, and you have people that you love, and you have nothing to give. You have no money, but you would be surprised what a simple gift of appreciation will do. One of the most precious gifts that I've received over the years are the letters of encouragement and appreciation that I have received. We just did the pastor appreciation and some of the letters and that you guys wrote me and the cards, and I just, they just brought me to tears. It's just such a blessing to receive those. When I did children's ministry, I would quite frequently get these little notes from kids, and I would always read every one of them, and some of them would bring me to tears, and I would hang many of them up on my cork board so I could remember them. These precious children would tell me how much they loved me and how much they appreciated me, and they had no money. Many of them barely had shoes to fit their feet, but they were able to give me the greatest gift of all, appreciation. I remember one year after vacation Bible school, I got a note from a little boy that said, "I sure love you, Pastor Matt, but I love Miss Kyla more." I kicked that little kid right out of the church. There's just some things I won't tolerate, and that's one of them. Amen. So don't you dare do that. You're gone. But some of the greatest gifts are the simplest gifts, and they cost nothing but a little time. I wonder what it would mean to the amazing people that volunteer hours a week to run our sound and media back there in the back, to receive a simple card from someone in here telling them how much you love and appreciate them. You see, oftentimes we're quick to complain when the sound's too loud. We're quick to complain when the sound's too quiet. I remember in Phoenix one time, true story, this wouldn't happen here because everybody's here is angels, but this was down in Phoenix and they're not so much angels down there. It's hotter and closer. Okay, you get what I'm saying. But anyway, it's true story. One Sunday I had someone come up to me and complain. It was very common, you know, people complain about sounds. One guy came up to me and complained that, hey, it's way too loud in here. We need to do something about the sound. He walks away. I kid you not. Another guy walks up to me and says, "It's a little soft in here. Could you turn it up?" What do you do? I just wanted to go jump off a bridge. What do you do with that? I don't know what to do with that. True story. But this doesn't cost us anything to a simple note to say, "Thank you, I really appreciate you." Man, you could draw it on a card, put a little heart on it. Maybe not the heart, but you know what I mean. Just a appreciation. Or what about a member of our worship team or one of the musicians? I wonder how many letters of appreciation they have received this year telling them how much they're appreciated. People that volunteer hours of their time each week rehearsing and practicing and playing, rather than, "Man, I really don't like that song you did." What about a note that says, "I want you to know how much I love you and I appreciate you"? I wonder how many people have stopped to thank the nursery worker, the preschool worker, the elementary worker, the youth worker. A simple thank you for caring for my child while I'm in service. I don't say it enough, but I really appreciate you. Do you know the impact that that has? What about all of those every week that serve in our kitchen, cooking all of the meals to feed everyone? They don't have to do that. They basically volunteer and give up their weekend every weekend to cook the meal that we serve. What about those that drive our buses and those that work in our food pantry? You see, people have a tendency to be fast to complain, but slow to show appreciation. I wonder if anyone's ever written a letter to an usher or a greeter or a cafe worker or any other volunteer position here in the church. I wonder if anyone's writing a letter of appreciation to your boss or one of your coworkers. You think they're not going through things as well? What about the sweet young man or young lady that's running the register at the grocery store? You'd be surprised what a simple word of appreciation could do. A waiter at a restaurant, the list could go on. "Pastor, I can't give," we say, "Yes, you can." You can not only give appreciation, but you can give your time. When you give people your time, you're actually giving them the greatest gift that you could possibly give them, because you're giving your life. We've all heard of doctors who find people that cannot afford medical care and they give them their time and do it for no cost. Chiropractors that take patients that cannot pay. Plumbers who give their time. Electricians who give their time. Contractors that give their time. I could go on and on. We all have something to give. We have the power to change the life of another person. You could take the time to bake a cake for someone else. You could bake cookies for someone else. I love it when people bake me cookies, especially when they say "to Pastor Matt" on them. Because when they say "to Pastor Matt" on them, they're for me and I don't have to share them with my kids. So that's my trump card right there. I love cheesecake as well. Cheesecake is my favorite. I don't know why I bring that up. It just things you do under the anointing. It just happens. But see, there are things that you can give this Christmas. My favorite gifts from my kids used to be the little gift certificates they would get me. They'd give me these little gift certificates, and they'd say on there, "Good for one 10-minute back rub." And I'd take out a pen, and I'd take the one, and I'd turn it into a six for a good 60-minute back rub. They weren't having any part of it. But those are always my favorite. They cost no money, but they do cost time. They won't give me them gift certificates anymore. They want to go out and spend this rotten money on me for these other gifts. I'd rather have the gift certificates. Amen. They need to get right with the Lord. We can also give courtesy to others. We can give kindness to others. We can give a simple smile to others. There's too many grouchy faces in the world today. You'll be surprised what a smile can do. We all have something to give, and there is no shortage of people to serve. But think for a moment. What would it be like if we chose to celebrate this way 365 days a year instead of just one? You see, in 2 weeks, it's our great toy giveaway service. We're going to have more than 1,000 pre-wrapped gifts up on this stage that we're going to be giving out to the children of our community. This place will once again be packed. It's a wonderful event that we do for the people of our community. Many of these kids will receive a gift of some sort, but then they're going to leave this place. And many of them will go home, even though we are given groceries as well. They don't get a full, you know, month's worth. You know, they'll get the little bit that they need for a couple days, and so it's they'll go home, and many of their cupboards will still be bare. The people that need clothes and food that come in after Christmas is over, they're still going to need clothes and food. The people that need encouragement now are going to need encouragement later, January, March, whenever that might be. Listen, you see, if you think Christmas is about opening presents, you can only have Christmas when somebody hands you a present. If you think Christmas is the Christmas tree, Christmas is over as soon as the tree comes down. But if Christmas to you becomes serving and giving, you can have Christmas any day of the year. If Christmas to you is palms up, you can be happy all year, or you can only be happy when people are given to you, but if Christmas is palms down, you can be happy all year long. Christmas for you doesn't have to be a celebration that has to end, and it shouldn't end, because when Jesus walked this earth, that's all he did. He served, and he gave, and he served, and he gave, and he did not stop. You see, so many people have this one-and-done mentality. And I know, and I think back to this, of people that will spend thousands of dollars to go on a missions trip, and those are wonderful. But I have seen people work hard. I've been on them, and they do whatever the missionary needs done, and they will cry crocodile tears for those people that are suffering in whatever country they are, but then they will come right back here to the United States, and they will ignore the same need in their own backyard. And they will turn a blind eye, and they will say, "Let someone else do it." Do you know that there's other churches now that are sending teams to us for mission trips? Isn't that crazy? It's almost as if we have this mentality that we've done our good deed for the year, and so that's going to cover us for a while. Let's let off the gas. But that's not the way it's going to work for us. For example, when these precious children come into our toy giveaway, it's not one and done. We're not going to send them out to the wolves after the event and then totally ignore them until next Christmas. You see, after Christmas, our buses are going to continue to hit the streets every week. Every week, the kitchen team is going to continue to come in and cook hundreds of meals to feed the people of our community. Every week, the food pantry team will continue to come in and bag hundreds of bags of groceries. Every week, we will continue to load and unload more than 20 pallets of food that is donated every single week. Do you know that since we ramped up our food pantry in 2020, I asked Jill for these numbers a few weeks ago, we have given away more than 40,000 bags of food. 40,000 bags. We're over that. 40,000 bags of food. And this is looking to be one of our top years just because the need is increasing so greatly. And I think our food bags that we're giving out a week have almost doubled. And it's all donated. It's a true miracle. And that's just the bags. That doesn't include the other stuff we give away that doesn't fit in the bags because the donations have been so great. And our volunteers spend hours here every week serving and loving the people of our community. Every week, the clothing closet was going to continue to come in and sort through and prep the donations. This is stuff that nobody sees. It doesn't just happen, which sometimes it can be very overwhelming for them because a lot of stuff comes in. A couple weeks ago at our Thanksgiving outreach, we had hundreds and hundreds of coats donated. Just came in bags. They came in and they worked hours behind the scenes folding hundreds of winter coats to give away. Here's a picture. I know some of you couldn't see it, but they literally came in. It looked so nice. I would have just thrown everything in the middle of the floor and told people, hey, go get it. I've had several people call and ask us about renting our building out, and I just can't do it because this place is so busy throughout the week. Every week, I'd literally have to shut the machine down, quit serving our community just to rent our building out. In addition to this, when school starts next year, we're once again going to give away hundreds of backpacks and school supplies to the children of our community. Here's what our stage looked like this last year. It was just truly phenomenal. Wait, you guys did this. It's amazing. We broke every attendance record in this church last year. Back to school. If you remember, more than 1,400 people attended this backpack giveaway. It just packed the building out. We had people in the chapel, the overflow chapel, with a video screen, and that was poured out into the hall. And hundreds of people stood that day to accept Christ as their Savior. Then, when that event ends, we're going to continue to help the people of our community. We're going to continue to serve the people of our community every single week. We are not going to stop. We will be a church that serves, and we will be a church that gives. You see, after Christmas, we're still going to be out there knocking on doors, loving the people of our community. We're still going to be taking care of the needy. We're going to continue the celebration of why Jesus came all year long. But I want you to know that despite everything we've seen, all the miracles that we've seen, all the blessings that we've seen, I want you to know that we haven't seen anything yet. Because I stand on 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those that love him. We've never seen, we've never heard, and we can't even imagine what God has in store for us in the future. Our job until then is to keep loving people. Our job is to keep giving and to keep serving others. Don't be a person that celebrates Christmas once a year and then you're done with it. I encourage you to be a person that serves, that celebrates the birth of our Savior all year long, by serving and by giving. Sam, if you could go ahead and come on to the stage at this time. I'm going to close this up. I remember when we pastored in Iowa, town of Oskaloosa, we had a very large, rough-looking young man wander into service one day. He was in his early 20s and probably three times my size, just muscle, just solid. He was, and that's, I know it's hard to believe because I'm pretty built, but, you know, it does happen. But it hurts me that you laugh. I wasn't telling a joke. But he's full of hate. He's full of anger. He starts telling me a story one day. He said he was abandoned as a baby. He was adopted by a loving family. When he was around the age of 12, his adoptive parents decided they couldn't handle him anymore because his behavior was so bad, and so they gave him up. So he was forced to live in a group home. He went to a group home from there, and now he's dealing with this rejection twice, and so he's developed this bitter spirit, and he was filled with just a tremendous amount of anger. And once he graduated the group home, he had nowhere to turn to, and he had literally nothing. So in efforts to survive, he said, I turned to drugs. I became a meth dealer. He said, I could put together a form of meth that was so peer. It was, I guess, however you do that, it was more peer than anybody else in the area or whatever. But he was highly sought after, I guess, in this area, he was telling me. And he's explaining this to me. He says, I don't want to do that anymore, but I know that God could never love me. And I said, that's not true. I said, God loves you dearly, and he died for you just like he died for me. He said, no, you don't understand, Pastor. You don't know what I have done. He said, I have hurt people. I said, man, we've all hurt people. I've hurt people too. He said, no, no, no. He goes, you don't understand. He goes, I have really hurt people. Really bad. If I told you what I've done to people, you would throw me out of this church. God can never love and forgive someone like me. He would not accept anything I said because in his eyes, he was beyond the point of forgiveness. But he kept coming back to church. He'd just come back, and I remember him sitting in the back row, and he'd listen to the sermons, and he would take off right when the sermon was done. Well, man in the church one time was out talking to him, and he found out that his vision was bad. He couldn't see very well, and he had an old pair of glasses. They were very scratched, and he had them since he was a kid, so they weren't the best things anymore. And so what we decided to do is a group of us decided to secretly gather together, and we raised funds to get him an eye exam and a new pair of glasses. And I still remember the day we presented him with the gift. We brought him up, and we told him that he was dearly loved, and we wanted to show our love through this gift. And he seen what we had done, and when we gave him this gift, this man just broke in front of everybody. He just started to weep, and he cried, and he cried. It's a very large man, rough past, weeping like a baby in front of everybody. And this one act of kindness would change his life. We got him into the Adult Teen Challenge in Minneapolis. But this is what it means to celebrate the birth of our Savior all year long, by continuing to serve and by continuing to give. Don't be a one and done person. Ask God when you wake up in the morning, God, would you send someone to my path today that I can encourage? Maybe you don't have a lot of money to give. That's okay. Some of the best gifts aren't money related anyway. God, who can I encourage today? Who can I lift up? Who can I give a compliment to? The Holy Spirit will put someone in your mind, trust me. And then just walk through it. And be that person that loves, that gives, that serves. Could I have you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this great truth. And I just pray it as a challenge to all of us to constantly keep in the forefront of our mind to do what you did, serve and give. God, it is my prayer right now, even as I'm praying this prayer, the Holy Spirit, you're moving in this place, and you're putting people into the mind of everyone sitting in here, God, of maybe who they could be that encouragement to. God, that you would bring people across our path, Lord. And God, that when it happens, we wouldn't be too busy. We wouldn't be on to the next thing. But we would take the time to serve and to give. And I thank you for it today in Jesus' name. I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed.